Thank you. Welcome back to Inside Agriculture. I'm Mick Kerr. New Year's Eve morning, and we've got Angie Setzer of Consus Ag Marketing from AgriTalk yesterday talking about marketing corn in early 2026. Her favorite number is 470.
I think last year for a big thing, you know, we didn't sell a lot of 470 December corn because it's kind of like, well, that's 420 harvest or 430 harvest or four whatever, you know, but if you don't need to use those hedges, let's say the market does stay supported or we do move beyond 470 at some point, you know, 470 corn, if you do it futures only, you know, I'm looking at HTAs or hedges or whatever, you should be able to turn that to 485, 488 type futures versus the March. And typically you see basis improvement reasonably decent. And so that's been the conversation I've been having with my growers this year is like 470 corn isn't 470 corn. It could turn into 465, 475 cash in January if we play our cards right. So I don't want to be scared of 470 corn this coming year, even though it's hard to be excited about no profit or minimal profit or whatever.
Could 2026 act like 2016?
I'm hoping not. But yeah, I mean, we went through, what was it, 14 through 20? Honestly, it was 6 years of, you know, 435 corn was as good as she got. 418, I think, was a high of 18, if I look back on it. You know, it got to the point where it was so ugly that we were trying to put lipstick on a pig and make 380 corn a thing in the summer of 2020. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I'm not saying that that's what happens, but I will say that if we don't get a yield reduction, a hearty yield reduction in the January report, you know, down to a 180 or 182, whatever, like to get us to a 1.5 billion bushel corn carryout, I struggle to see a big rally because I do think we end up with 97 million acres of corn again. Like I was not that person last year that thought we were going to see a big shift, but I have customers now that are, you know, simply telling me, I lose less in corn, even though that doesn't make sense. I have a better opportunity for greater gain in yield. Soybeans, yeah, they're good, but they're kind of flatlined. They've been flatlined. You know, value-wise, a 1075 bean is not going to buy acres. You get soybeans up to 12 bucks, then I'll buy your 85 million acres. But at 1075, you're 97 and 82 or 83 again.
So who do we blame for the lack of upside potential in corn in 2025? The funds?
Well, yeah, the farmer is moving more, you know, and so you are seeing the farmer is way more actively engaged. The futures were higher for a while. Now we backed off a bit, but you didn't get a chance to sell 450 March corn last year until after the first of the year. You know, you've had far more people. Most of my customers, we had a basis opportunity. We got up to 450 cash. We liquidated everything in last half of December that we would typically move in January because the opportunity presented itself and we weren't going to wait. So could you see January come and things look a lot different? Potentially, you know, that'll be something that I'm watching very, very closely. But right now, I would say, you know, I had thought we would be below last year production wise or whatever overall. I don't think we are. The spreads aren't saying that we're super tight. No one's really getting crazy in basis. And so that's the one thing with the movement if we were shorter. But yeah, I mean, it's going to get really interesting after the first of the year with how much demand we have and with how the commercial doesn't really have that ownership to play with.
Angie Setzer, Consus Ag Marketing on AgriTalk yesterday. Your thoughts on the January 12th WASDE report?
Now, if we trim the production number and some of these other things, things will look a little bit different. Obviously, the same conversation as what we had in corn. You know, could you take a bushel and a half, 2 bushels off from soybeans? That feels more realistic than, you know, maybe corn at 180 right now. But yeah, I mean, at this point in time, we're going to have to work really hard still to meet the USDA's export projection number. The crush number is probably going to be met. I don't see that struggling, you know, but then the question obviously comes into production and you just have a lot of really bearish people out there that think that the exports need to be taken down even more. And, you know, a lot of these other things. And so, yeah, we're just kind of stuck. We didn't have the EUDR that we thought we were going to have. You know, the deforestation regulation was postponed. The speculators got way too big for their britches, way too fast. You know, you just had a lot of things happen. And right now we're just kind of undoing all of it. And it's ugly and it's gross. And we're hoping to kind of find our way. I think once we get to the new year, it'll be a bit better. You know, the last 2 weeks have been a little blah because of the holiday. I think you get to next Monday, we see some better signs. But yeah, it has not been a great run for soybeans at all.
During late harvest and soybean selling time, we had a lack of reports from the government.
It was interesting to see, especially middle of October, to see the commercial have no ownership whatsoever of corn. You know, to see the farmer, like not a lot of people talk about that, and the commitment of traders either. The farmer liquidated over a quarter of the overall production too in that run up. Like a lot of folks are like, oh, you missed it. Really, we sold 1.3 billion bushel of soybeans gladly to the funds that were in buying it, you know, like, but yeah, the missing commitment of traders report was the biggest one that we really, yeah, you know, should have had.
Thoughts on corn and beans from Angie Setzer, Consus Ag Marketing on AgriTalk yesterday. All right, we've got some interesting weather for New Year's Eve. Let's get that forecast now.